to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dhyanvi, Sandhyanvi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again, may it be so. Saranam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dhyanvi, Sandhyanvi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dhyanvi, Sathyanvi, Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, Gaudiya Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and nitya. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without the self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita kirtaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is a holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate thy compassionate mindfulness that fruits this path. Thy compassionate awareness that leads to Nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept of benefit of all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dhyanti, Dhyanti, Svaha. Again and again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create temporary beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
A reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning? June.
I'm having a familiar experience. I'm going to take about a 5 or 6 day leave. Meditation, very exciting, interesting things. Going to be with family, and it is just fodder for the voices, the con artists, to run this number on me. That it likes to run. It's and I believe it, it somehow convinces me to be anxious. That I need to drop everything I'm doing, like go buy new clothes and do something about how I look, whatever that is. And that kind of thing. And really, the best option is to cancel.
Of course. Yeah. So there's this 5-6 day vacation that I think you said you're actually, there's going to be some exciting things during this vacation, and you get to be with family. And so there's that energy, right? And then the con artist comes in, sounds like tries to take over that experience by telling you that you just, you know, need to drop everything and, you know, change how you look and be anxious about it, which I assume means keep your attention on that con artist. Yeah.
Yeah, believe everything it's saying.
Believe everything it's saying.
Which will take me right through canceling.
Yeah, right. That was the thing you should do. Just forget it all.
And there's a good chance that if this... If this vacation were any less action-packed, it could easily talk me into canceling. It has talked me into other kinds of things, kind of lower-key things, many, many times.
Right. That's interesting. So the voices start up, create what's called kind of an anxiety. And then if I'm with you, it sounds like the way it suggests out of that anxiety is to cancel.
Just go back to, just come back into my old, where everything is flatlined.
Just come back. Here's the con, right? Just come back into the fold where it's flatlined, and you won't have to feel any of the same way. And it gets us to believe that it's the vacation, it's the family, it's, that's what's creating. And if you just cancel that, you won't feel anxious anymore.
Yeah.
So, you have a sense of what's actually true about that?
And it requires, I mean, it's, I guess it's kind of an intense karma for me. It really requires staying present.
Yeah.
You know, redirecting the attention, staying in the body, staying here, because moving is getting kind of distracted. It's right there.
Right.
You know, you need to stop. I mean, this morning, no, go to monastery this morning. Okay. Got through your wardrobe, figure out what you need. Drive to Modesto or Stockton or somewhere. Go to some random store and buy something.
Uh-huh.
You'll be more comfortable when you get, because comfort is huge, you'll be more comfortable than you are now.
Uh-huh. Well, that seems important, that there's maybe somebody wants to feel more comfortable.
Yeah, so the way to feel more comfortable is to not believe the karma. Right here in the body, where nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
Everything, in fact, I'm going to do it again. I'll talk about what that was like.
Yes.
It's just a regular thing that I do. And it's always been this way. It's always been that way.
Your life is always, that's what's true. Your life has always been better.
It has. I could cite chapter and verse of the ways that this life is extraordinary and close and appearance. Those are the kinds of things that's always been able to get in there.
Yeah.
And that's just, I don't know, kind of, yeah. I guess it's odd karma. I don't know, maybe it's true for other people.
I don't know if anyone ever talks about their appearance. I think I just had that conversation this morning before I started. Yeah, gosh, there's some really important things. I think what you were suggesting is, if I heard you correctly, that, you know, when that con artist comes up and is trying to con you into, maybe there's an authentic need just to feel comfortable or just okay with themselves. The con is, you got to go get something to do that. And it sounds like what you were suggesting is, if you just direct the attention to how fabulous your life is, you're going to have that okayness, that comfort. You may even have some, I kind of sense some enthusiasm and some energy instead of what I imagine happens when that relationship with the conscious is going on, is the energy starts to dissipate.
Yeah.
And then also, I just occurred to, from the recording and listening, I know you worked on that, that there could be a really good ego line that says, you know, what is true is. You know, so that plays in here if you're kind of on there. That lie of, if you go buy a new outfit, then you'll feel comfortable. That's the lie. What's true is, if I put my attention on everything I'm grateful for in my life, that's what will make me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
If I bring my attention to all the exciting things I'm actually going to do on this trip, all the things I like about the family I'm going to be with, you know, that'll kind of bring that I respect that real need for comfort.
But it's very interesting that you talk about an authentic need for comfort. I think that's what you said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What are you saying about that?
I get confused in places talking about what is an authentic, what someone needs. I think I get easily talked into anything that is other than absolute present moment, well-being, and space is egocentric. It is a trick.
Uh-huh.
And I hear and hear over and over talking about the authentic being, and authentic needs or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm using the right words. And I get confused though if I do it.
Yeah, yeah. The language can be, you know, maybe the way I'm using it is in the heart for your stuff. But so it's just interesting to explore, right? Because what I heard you say earlier was, gosh, you know, if I listen to that conversation, I'm going off on what it's telling me to do and how I'm going to be okay. I'll just go do this, this, and this. And then you talked about, okay, so it requires me to just keep my attention here. Because you know, right, that that's taking you in a place that's actually not taking care of the person.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, it could say, oh, I'll feel more comfortable when I get the new clothes, but you know from experience, I project, that that's actually not true. I mean, maybe there's an instinct of, okay,
yeah.
And then start back up about something else. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. The authenticity is that's just the very practice of not listening
yeah.
to this.
Yeah.
Anything that I need will come to me here.
Yeah.
Anything that that could be done, that if anything needs to be done at all,
mm-hmm.
I'll know. In the moment, it won't be some anxious doing being talked into.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly where you're going before about I mean, if we're going to use the word need, it seems like that is pretty much the only need, is to be present.
Yeah.
And in that place, it's clear, no, I'm not going with that voice. What I'm doing is staying here. And if there's anything authentic, anything I need to be taken care of, anything I need to do, it'll be available right here. Not in an anxious conversation. Boy, that's a good... I'm thinking that for myself, too. That's a good recording, right? Because as you said, if we're not in that kind of conversation, it's pulling us right into the karma. And we're in the car, so the nest goes. But, you know, over here, we do know nothing to do. It's just laid out for all of us. You know, and we know how to get there. We know what supports us in leaving that place. And we know what the difference is between that and the con. We just lay that out as well.
And when the sensations get big, it's an every moment practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just as I'm saying that, I realize it's a really good thing.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. Say a little more about that.
The sensations are just hello.
Hello.
But it feels really good. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring it all back. Let's see it back in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Back into the present.
Mm-hmm.
Back into awareness. You know, recording, listening, and I'm just tuning around. There's not that motivation.
Right. We might not even know we're in the file, and it just seems normal. So the gift is the big sensations are the hello, because there's a discomfort. It kind of wakes us up. And then what I heard too, just as you were talking, is it just seems to signal, hey, it's okay. Here's what we're going to do. Just come back to the breath. I mean, there's that measuring cut. Just it's so great, right?
Right, that's the measuring test.
I don't put words on the
experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I'm putting it in my words.
Well, I love it.
Okay. Well, here's how it came for me, actually. As you were saying that, okay, just come back to the breath, come here. I was actually receiving this, and I could feel my system relax. Even though that's not my particular issue, I could feel that mental presence. I think that's what I think. So. Yeah, right?
And this is another piece of this occurred to me when you talked about a new outfit. It's nothing it takes worse than a new outfit. It's obviously a convention that needs one. It'll convention to drop everything and go get one. And then I don't have time to wear it. It does not want to wear it. It is so uncomfortable. Stupid.
Well, that's good. If you're on that live part, you know, that the outfit will make you more comfortable. Actually, what happens is you get the outfit, and then later it doesn't want to wear it, it's too uncomfortable. And then short circuit that bamboozle right there. Oh, that's so fun. So, I mean, I don't know. It seems like the way you're talking, it's all right here. It's sort of just remembering. And as you said, just bringing, of course, as you know, recording, that's going to be really helpful with that.
Yeah. And it's doing a little bad this morning.
You are, yeah.
Yeah.
And talking out loud in group, I mean, that's another thing. Yeah. And I love that the big sensation, so it's like, and in this case, it's like, oh, thank you. I don't think I would know. I wouldn't register otherwise. Whenever you practice that, it's really good.
I'm going to keep talking. what just occurred to me, which is playing a whole lot more stuff. Jokes about this are going to make it crazy. And never buy a new outfit. Anything that's just going to set it off. And my next birthday will be 69. Which means the next day I start living my 70th year. And I'm determined to just make it a wild and woolly year.
Be great. We'll plan on being inspired for a year when you kind of share about it. And it's, you know, it's funny because we do that. To me, you're doing it right now, don't you think?
Yeah.
By I'm not going along with it, go to this, and then I'll be okay.
When I think about the year, the first thing, and I've just seen this as, again, a common, is going places and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first. Okay, certainly I can go places and do things, but that's all it can think about. No, wild and woolly for me would be never miss a meditation that I could possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wild and woolly. every retreat, everything, mm-hmm. I'm for it. Wild and woolly would be, I can barely say this out loud, would be, give this a month for me, so much.
Wow. How that feels, though.
No, also, it's, you know, it's big rationalization is that physical things that we expect prevent me from doing all kinds of work. It's like the thing that if you do, you just be a drag on the energy of the place. Oh gosh, it's all going to change.
Oh. It's out there, yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah, because you want it to be out there.
Yeah.
You want to live wild and woolly. That's part of it right now, isn't it? To get it out there. Actually, the heart, you could say, wants to show up every meditation that's possible and sign up for retreats. And heck, maybe come to this month long meeting, Mark. I'm sure there's some concern. I bet you have to communicate about that and see what the mind is doing.
Well, it doesn't.
But we're taking one step at a time.
Yeah, one step.
Okay. Do we use that this time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I hope. If the con artist needs power to that particular con, mm-hmm. it's going to hit it next year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, because you know, it sounds like you know the con, and you're ready to go after it. Because it sounds like Teddy doesn't really believe it. I mean, it hooks you because it's the karma.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next year.
And when those sensations get big, the hook, that's the hook.
Yeah.
And that hook.
And it sounds like this next trip is really kind of a kickoff in a way.
Yeah. Okay.
Rebecca.
There was so much in there that related to what I was looking at too. So I'll just say it from my version and see. I've been looking at what was talked about in group on Thursday around dreams.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. practicing the process of dreaming,
mm-hmm.
not and watching what happens all around that.
Practicing the process of dreaming and then watching everything that happens around that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So here's what I saw. So that first of all, to dream, have to really be present. The only portal to what I project is the dream is really dreaming is the present moment,
mm-hmm.
which goes in the face of everything I've ever thought about dreaming being something about the future.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's one thing. So the place of dreaming can only happen in the present moment.
And the place of dreaming can only happen in the present moment. And for folks who didn't hear the Thursday group, we're not talking about going to sleep and dreaming.
Right. dreams for the world or life or whatever.
Yeah, dreams for the world or life. And that there's the only possibility, the only portal is to be present.
In the present moment,
yeah.
That's the only portal. And that what then happens is conditioning globs on, kind of intrudes, invades that, and would be generated or corrupted into planning.
Uh-huh. So we could be right here in the present moment in that process of dreaming, which is the same as being present. Mm-hmm. And the way that it corrupts it is it tries to pull that into planning.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And if the attention goes with the planning, then the dreaming is left,
yeah.
and the con artist is you know, like paying my rent. You know, what do they call it? When the mob comes, extortion.
Extortion.
Like I'm paying my money to this extortionist. You know, I'm mm-hmm. kind of throwing in with the con artist.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's only ever done just through the attention. It's always trying to get in, but if I stay with my attention on the field of awareness where the dreaming is happening and even where the ego is trying to invade and the attention doesn't go to the invader,
mm-hmm.
I'm fine. I'm still in this present moment.
Yeah, you could even be aware that it's attempting to do that calmly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it could be in that field of awareness. But in that field of awareness, we're clear what that is.
Yeah.
And as long as the attention doesn't move over to directing it, basically collapsing on that invader, you can stay in that dreaming process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is even more interesting of dropping into your statement is that even the planning itself is a cheap imitation of what life may be saying.
Uh-huh.
So it's like that irritating game that kids do to get on each other's nerves, like they'll start saying something. So it's like life dropped in something, mm-hmm. and ego just kind of takes it and mm-hmm. tries to say a variation mm-hmm. of it or a person.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, I think I remember that from childhood. Wow, that's a good image.
Yeah.
So how does it take it over? I mean, it's a split second after. You're in the dreaming, you're in that place. You don't have to go and do the actual thing because it's all about being in the process of dreaming.
Right.
And what it wants us to do is think, oh, to have that dream, we have to leave here and go into planning.
Yeah.
And the way it does that is, it's the only way it can, right? It can't make up anything on its own.
Right.
It's going to come in and basically just repeat or use the same and mimic mm-hmm. and use the same words as you just demonstrated immediately after.
Right.
My gosh, it just feels so cruel, doesn't it?
Somebody's
been dreaming. Their heart's open. You know, just comes in and takes them into this thing. But, oh, yeah, it'll be great if you... And they're out. We're gone again. We're out of the present moment.
And what I see has been going on for so long in meditation is that that process of just life. Ashwini one time used the phrase "life trying out possibilities," and I just love that. So here I am, just open, kind of going around my day. Sometimes on the cushion, sometimes out and working, meditation, whatever. And just things are dropping in all the time. And if I look at it as, oh, life trying out these possibilities, that's one experience. But what has traditionally just constantly happened is that they get called ego. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that ego. Just push it away. And so it's a form of resistance in the name of pseudo Zen that I shouldn't be paying attention to that. That's just ego. And so I'm kind of in this constant, what gets called dropping the conversation, but it's really a pushing away of everything for some kind of idea of what silence is instead of actual.
Or what could be staying in the dreaming or whatever, but that's a really important subtle point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That you could be coming around here on these insights. And the way you said it, life's just trying on possibilities. There's no owning of what's coming in.
Right.
There's no need to go do anything with it. Again, you're just staying, it seems that you're staying into that position of awareness. Life's trying on. That would be really helpful to practice with, because you're right, I'm familiar with that, how it could be, somebody's trying to plan, conditioning's coming in, and we end up being torn, basically, into blocking the information that life's presenting.
Exactly.
Or the experience that it's presenting.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like, so the card I drew today out of the universe is attune.
Attune.
So it seems like if there's, and this is what came in through my recording about it, if there's anything to do, it's just to attune to the moment. Just that's all, because that's all there is. Still remember radios where you had to turn the dial and you heard the static, and then you would get a station and you would hear static.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was actively saying no to the static. It was that I was attuned to the sound, And so that's ego, that pushing away, that would be like always still keeping the attention on the static, on the voice that's saying no.
Yeah.
But really, and it feels the same way with, everything, this is what's been talked about today, is it's really just, another word that we use a lot is calibrate.
Yeah.
But to just do that, that process of attuning, that's really our only job, in a sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what we've come down to the table.
Yeah, for us, kind of, we're like receiving stations.
Yeah.
And so our job is just to attune to the signal that's coming to us. The other word that Ashwini uses a lot is to calibrate.
Yeah.
And it's so helpful to have concrete images.
Yeah.
So I know about those radios. And just that place of there's a little circular knob and you're turning it along the, think about the FM or AM dial.
Yeah.
And the in between radio stations, whatever, 95.7, is often static. Mm-hmm. And so you're really just listening for when the clarity comes in, really.
Yeah.
And that place of, conditions coming in, is really having the attention on the static that's in between the stations, as opposed to having the attention on looking for that clarity.
Yeah.
Because we know what that is.
Oh, yeah. We are that.
Mm-hmm. And we know that from a concrete example. Oh, here's the song.
Yeah.
And we know that from being tuned into the live station.
Yeah.
Because as you said, we are that.
Yeah.
We are that frequency. Wow. That's fun.
It is fun. Thank you.
Just kind of the question.
So I too this morning had a rush of energy through the body, and I was like, "Whoa, that's some karma right there." And it reminded me of this other content I was working with, and even when I spoke about group on Tuesday. So I thought there was more to share.
more to be in
the
air.
So I was up in the kitchen first this morning, which I love being up in the morning. And I was making tea, getting my breakfast ready, and all of a sudden the voices started. I don't know which was first. Probably a sensation first and then the voices, but just this feeling of like, you're going to do something wrong. And the teacher, I had this teacher in second grade that I felt like I couldn't do anything right. I was completely inadequate. And that's where this comes from. And so it was this complete, like, feeling of, and I'm like, it's pick up snack. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And I'm at the monastery where nothing is wrong. And I trust that these people mean it when they say that. But nonetheless, I have this, like, intense feeling. And then what I noticed was this sort of the vicious loop of, like, the feeling comes in and then the voices get loud. That, like, you're doing something wrong, which then creates this feeling like I'm sneaking around, but I'm like, I'm not sneaking around. It's perfectly fine. It was crazy.
Yeah. I think we're all actually pretty familiar with something.
Sort of reassuring in a sick way.
Yeah. We've all been subject to that.
I don't want anyone else subject to that, but it's,
Yeah, let me just make sure I'm with you. So, you love mornings. And so you're up this morning, and you're making your tea, and it's interesting because you said, you know, it tries to get you into inadequacy. I just project your inadequacy.
Right.
Everything is great. And then, you know, you suspect there's a sensation, and then it tries to connect to the sensation with a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the sensation is going to now mean something's wrong. You're doing something wrong.
Huh.
And we can just go right back to second grade, right? and then teacher, we're just felt like, oh my gosh, we can't do anything right.
And then you start to get pulled, like, okay, so what am I doing wrong? Should I not be filling this water pot? And then wait, I'm not doing anything wrong. And I feel like a stacking crater. It's ridiculous.
Well, we think you identified it all, right? And so from that second grader's perspective, or that identity perspective, that's what they do. They scan to look for what are they doing wrong. And of course, there's the voice is happy to give us information. Even though you said it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
It's pickup breakfast. There are things that I'm clear about. And, well, I'm also from a monastery where, you know, there are no mistakes, and, well, I can communicate, so what's the deal?
Right, and I'm like, and if I do something that's, like, off the guidance, I'll get a lovely, kind note telling me that. Like, it's, like, really not a big deal.
If we somehow did get off calibration, oh my gosh, then what we would have is a kind note to help us come back in line with the heart.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to eat my breakfast, and it's going, but it was nice because the whole time I was aware of it. So I was aware when I would get sucked into it. You know, sometimes I do it like, I'm here, and then I'm, like, watching this movie screen, and sometimes, like, you're in the movie, and then you're like, yeah. You know, so I felt a sense of, you know, really, I'm practicing because I'm mostly watching this happen instead of, like, being fully in it. But it reminded me of this other piece that I think it's a similar I think I didn't get conned this time really into like feeling bad, which is what I talked about on Tuesday night. Yeah. Like the little girl who just doesn't want to disappoint the teacher and do a good job. Like I didn't get pulled into that like feeling of I'm a bad person. And so this other thing it reminded me of is that I've had this when I arrived on my first or second day I was walking and I found these two feathers and I picked them up and they're beautiful and then like the next day I was like or at some point afterwards I was like I'm really shouldn't have taken those. Let me ask about this. And as I was asking, like waiting for a response, it sort of like dropped in. I think I picked up some leaves too that I just like caught my eye in the moment. And it's created this whole vicious loop where it's like, maybe I shouldn't have taken these. Should I give them back? And I'm like literally a second grader where I don't want to give up these leaves, but I'm in this conversation like, you should give them up. No, you should like donate them to someone. You should just like, give them up. And I'm like, so ridiculous.
Should find the
third. I know, like, I must go back. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But at the same time, it's like the conversation where I'm identified is like the possibility of keeping them. It's not okay, but does little fat thing greater than that's what I thought his teeth were pretty.
There's no way out.
And I realized they like it's like the same. It's the same little girl, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's the same identification. You can see that happening in different places. And there's those places of just being completely identified and feeling that, and feeling like it's true. And did I do something wrong? I'm bad.
Right.
And the difference, it sounds like, this morning in the kitchen is that you could really, and it sounds like you practice this too, is seeing the voices is kind of like a movie screen over
mm-hmm.
there. Something that's not you.
Right.
And then, gosh, it seems so helpful, doesn't it, to kind of move in and out of that, to see that process? So you sometimes are in the movie, and it's like, ah, I did it wrong, and what do I do now? You know? And then there's that place of, like, that's not me.
Right.
Actually, I'm fine how I am, and I can communicate, and I get in. You know, there's just that place of what's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's maybe, but what if the, you know, you're back into the movie, you know,
yeah.
And making that movement can be really,
That's a good point. I've had moments of appreciating that movement, and I think we talked about earlier, just like that rush of energy, and then being able to see it and go in and out of it like that. And that's also like that's the stuff, and
it's
the stuff that's actually the really good stuff. It's
yeah,
like
the
getting
joy.
Your hands dirty.
Getting your hands dirty.
What's also dropping in is the diorama reference from Thursday night is like. When I'm going back and forth to keep the leaves, not keep the leaves, like I'm stuck in this little box that's like
Yeah. So it's
but it's cool stuff and it's really fun.
Yeah, so on Thursday we were talking about how the dioramas are these little like three dimensional, you know, at least for me, I would do a book report and represent it in a diorama. And that's how it feels as we're living in that diorama. The same relationships, maybe the thing gets moved around in
right.
the conversation, but you're basically trapped in a little box.
Yeah, and you're like, I had moments of it, like walking here, I took a different, I read the my assignment for the 30-day commitment, it was like, put your watch in a different hand, which I did, it was really weird. But it's really cool, and like, maybe that's what set off the this thing is kitchen, actually. And I walked a different way, actually, not in front than I normally do. And have those moments of getting in the conversation. So you're in this box. Meanwhile, this most magnificent property is like, here we buy. And then you get to see that. And you're like, oh, wait. I'm like in this like stupid little box. And look at the sunrising right now.
Yeah, because actually in that place, it sounds like you're in a larger awareness.
Yeah.
You can feel that experience of the box, but there's a larger awareness.
There's a larger,
like,
magnificent
surroundings that you're walking in. And you can move that attention. Right back to those, and you know, we can move our attention and probably find the box again.
Totally.
We can just keep us in discuss that larger awareness. Yep, that there it is, those voices are going on. Yep, it's trying to get me into that second grade identification. And it is to me that, that movement just really relates to what people have been talking about, that calibration.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, part of it seems like what's helpful in knowing what the experience of the magnificent surrounding. Or the, you know, the place where it's actually what's true,
mm-hmm.
and that actually the amount of data is here to help me get into that kind of place,
mm-hmm.
that and that you're in trouble and you're bad, you know, really feeling the difference
yeah.
can really help us, you know, like, oh, whatever it is, I just went to my gut. You know, like, gut tenses up the shoulders, yeah. And then, oh, okay, that, I don't know what's going on, but in some sense, not, that's synthetic.
Right.
You know, and I go to that other place, and I have lots of experience of just feeling relaxed, feeling like there's nothing wrong with your beauty,
yeah.
And just calibrating, you know, just basically tuning back and forth.
Yeah. And that's the magic of this place, is that, like, if you can trust that that you all believe what you say when you go here, which, you know, then it's uh-huh. like you get to play with that style, if
yeah.
you will, a lot, in a way that in other spaces,
yeah.
it's a little risky. It feels a little riskier,
yeah.
maybe
yeah.
it is,
yeah.
here and it's not, but here it's like so safe to do that. And what was dropping in when you said that is this question, as you know, from coaching, I'm working a lot on sort of like breath and coming into the body. And I had this sort of little question around today, like, if I'm connected with the breath, I think it's assumed that I'm with my body. So I suspected today there was a little bit of conditioning of like, you have to pay attention to both.
Did it
say
like that?
Kind of. Like, because I'm playing with this awareness, right? You can have your attention on one thing, but be aware of everything else around you, and sort of change focus. But paying attention to the breath and being aware of the body and listening to the, like, then it conditioning starts to make it like a little. And so I was like, no, I think if I'm just breathing and aware of that, I'm in my body.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You can't answer that for me,
and
then
yeah.
I'm asking
anyway. Well, I'm just going by your experience of the way you're describing it,
yeah.
right? And that place of, okay, so you got to take a practice into the breath, and then you got to do this. And you can feel that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even just when you're saying it, the body kind of tenses, the face kind of scrunches up. I mean, for me, it just gets that place of, like, I don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about awareness or attention. So then, and then it sounds like that was actually what happened.
Yeah.
And you said, you know what, actually, I think it's this. I'm going to go, I think what I heard was, I'm going to go back to my own experience.
Yeah.
And check that out. Right? Because it's trying to get us into a conversation about our breath and awareness and attention.
Right. Figuring out.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And
right.
we never will from that place, will we?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what I would just say is, actually, and then it's kind of like, let me go find out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go play with that.
Like, what do I actually feel happening?
Okay, so I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And can I have my attention on the and hear the water, and hear that bird. You know,
mm-hmm.
oh, wow, and then, you know, just playing.
Yeah.
And because you made such a good point before, and what a gift, right, to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get to do that. We get to play, we get to experiment, we get to. And as you said, if we kind of trust the structure and what these folks say, and that takes some courage too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because really, I think what you're saying is, like, we have to actually give it a shot, and then our experience tends to show us that it is okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one to come in and say, well, no, you've got to stay on guard or whatever.
Right.
But we really can be, we have the opportunity to be free to kind of just try things out here.
Mm-hmm.
So much. The conversation about living in a shoebox. One thing I was walking up the path the other morning to the front of the monastery, and I noticed the big pine.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you how many times I have walked past the big pine like it was a piece of furniture. You know, just not with it at all. that morning, for some reason, it was just like, oh my God, the big pine.
Yeah. Oh my God, the big pine. Because if you haven't seen it, it is, oh my God, the
yeah.
big pine.
And it was a step out of the shoebox for a moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just put my hand, I walked up to it, I put my hand on it,
mm-hmm.
and stood underneath and just looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
To just tell it
yeah.
that I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it, I see
mm-hmm.
you. And it dropped the teeniest, tiniest little chip of bark. Just this little delicate from way up high and just
wow.
right down to where I was standing. And it just felt like, You know, we both saw each other.
That's where I'm going. I've seen you too.
Yeah.
You're quite lovely yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the best thing. So it's just a gift of stepping out of the shoebox.
That's a great image. Gosh, we're in the shoebox. We're in our little world having the same conversation over and over. And it's just happy things that wake us up.
Yeah.
You know, and we're practicing enough to have that be possible.
Yeah.
You know, and there it is. There's the good point. And it takes that moment.
Yeah.
You know, I just project like that offer and then there's a yes.
Yeah.
You know, you put your hand and the look up, and that is amazing.
Yeah.
To look up and then that find. Yeah. And to have that that offering. You.
Yeah.
You know, I know sometimes it's like a piece of furniture above you, but right now I am here, I see you.
Yeah.
And then to have that piece of heart bottle over you down, just that reciprocating or that hearing, like, I see you too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Wow.
Just that, so many opportunities to live engaged.
Engaged?
Yeah, with all sentient beings.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And we're always in relationship that we just get to have that opportunity to see that.
Yeah.
To be in that engagement.
Yeah. So, just an encouragement to stay. Don't go back in that box.
Uh-huh.
And that,
Right, because it's so clear. Hey, I don't want to be, I'm going to be in this.
Yeah, we want to be in that box. When, I know.
When it is.
It's crazy.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. There's another those great recordings about, you know, this is what's possible. Describe that whole thing. Not the box. You know?
Yeah.
This is where they want to be.
That's interesting too.
Because otherwise, you know, the habit for all of us is to just walk by
time. Oh yeah.
Because we're in the conversation.
Yeah. The next morning it's like big time or big time. Yeah. Right.
Oh, they walk that
way.
Yeah,
that's great. And I completely, the whole thing about the, I completely relate to all that about the trip and the anxiety. And, and I'm planning an event that requires inviting people. And, you know, I heard.
That leads to somebody shaking their head like,
I
just
heard.
No.
I mean, really, I heard a voice, somebody's hoping that, like, it's so late that nobody can really come. But I did it. I sent the invitation out. Gosh darn, you know, nobody can come. Because now I can stay comfortable.
Of course, I always know, even if we that have somehow worked out, we just know we did that.
Yeah.
I kind of rationalized.
Because
somebody wants to stay comfortable, and kind of what we were talking about, it said, okay, this is what you can do to stay comfortable.
Yeah. But what I saw this morning, this is what I'm going to check out. The comfort, I'm told, let's stay comfortable. And if you do this, just stay comfortable. But what actually has become comfortable is that anxiety, that those high sensations, like they become so habitual, it's like that's kind of the comfort, the comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been watching this, it sounds like, ego labeling is comfort, or the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then what happens is this, you know, the anxiety and sensations, and it sounds like you've been watching it, that's become actually the comfort.
Yeah.
That's the habitual place now.
It is. Well, I don't know that it's a habitual place now. I think it's always kind of been a habitual place. And even though it tells me I can get to a place of being comfortable, if I do certain things, that actually, it's actually what because it's so custom, it's so custom to it. That's actually the comfort zone.
Uh-huh.
It's like everything is about maintaining that anxiety.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And that
okay.
Everything's about maintaining that anxiety and that you know that like oh my God, what if you know. And
So for the identity to maintain itself, actually yeah. what's comfortable
yeah.
is to keep that in, keep that going, that story yeah. going. Not actually leave it and then you'll feel
right.
better.
Right.
It's, let's keep keep that anxiety going.
Exactly. It's not about yeah. feeling better.
But that's important to see in terms of what you're talking about, the con artist.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you want to feel better, don't you? Yeah. No, the identity, that's what the identity does. They get anxious and yeah. do what I'm going to do.
Yeah. It's not about feeling better at all.
I mean, it's not about the feeling better at all.
It's about, let's keep this going.
Uh-huh.
And,
wow, way to call it out, right?
I know. And then I realized, wow, I think that would be so, it yeah, but it seems that to be, to go through a day without the sensations would be so uncomfortable.
Right. I mean, what would I do? What would I be
what
if
would
I wasn't?
What would I, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I get to play with.
Yeah.
Going toward, this sounds kind of, but going toward, let's see. I was just there. This was just there a second ago. Actually, what is resisted is true well-being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the comfort and the relieving the anxiety actually isn't true well-being.
Yeah.
It maybe it's just a setup to get back into it. And it's just part of the maintenance system.
Yeah.
And true well-being is a different place.
Yeah.
And of course, we know where it resists true well-being. Yeah. Not the question. Not the opposite.
So if you just be with that, yeah, you just be with that exploration. I mean, now I was talking about it, I can just feel so settling of, yeah.
And just talking about it, just projecting that your attention just went to what is true well-being,
yeah.
or your experience.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what was occurring to me. That would be so great to have maybe a recording about
yeah.
that or something to help you keep, because you just went there.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know whether this morning I picked up the recorder to record, and actually the intention was to just talk into the recorder and just a communication exercise, just say everything that was going on, you know, because I noticed there was a whole lot of stories, and, you know, it's like, well, okay, so pick up the recording and just start talking about what's going on.
Get out of that.
Get out of that. And then what happened is, I picked up the recorder and I started talking. What happened was a visualization just kind of poured out of being in the presence of the mentor who was I don't know how to, but just completely available, unconditionally loving, just and there 100% for this life form.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there for any other purpose, just there to accept and embrace everything exactly as is
mm-hmm.
and has no other. I don't know how to say it, has no other agenda except to be there present for this life.
Uh-huh.
She's not doesn't have another appointment in an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like she didn't just have an appointment. She's just there.
Not late.
She's just there. I don't know how to, because she's just there for me.
Just there for you.
And she's
anytime.
Yeah. And the incredible joy of being, of having communication.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You know, anything uh-huh. and everything.
Anything and everything.
Yeah. There's wow. just nothing that's... Anyway, this whole thing just came out and it's like, that's really interesting. Cause
yeah. It is why we call it the magic tool.
It is.
Yeah. It's great. Gosh. It's almost like, you know, getting it out of the head kind of helps us identify.
Right.
You just took a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't necessarily need to say all those things. You just turned on the recorder. And I love that thing of like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then life just has something else.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
apparently you're on board.
Yeah.
So here you go. You're on the recorder.
Right.
And it's just this visual of visualization of that mentor. Just being completely present to you, welcoming any conversation, everything and anything. And there's no rush. She's always here. She's not trying to get anywhere else. Hurry.
Yeah, I think that the karma of, growing up with 10 people, I think that she needed to know that, it's never come up before.
It makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's the situation you're in, and by a lot of personality got developed around that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, it's just tailored exactly to what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if we didn't even know we absolutely needed that exact thing, that's how it comes up to us.
Right.
And then we're like, oh, yes, that's perfect.
It is perfect. It's just so great. I just end out just want to say, it has been some tough, stormy times. I don't know what is going on, whether that's probably maybe true for everybody, but I have just been so many days it's just like, help me. I don't know. I just send in some help, please. And the help has come over and over again in ways that, like that visualization this morning, and just so many things. And so,
that's amazing, isn't it? Is it challenging usually to ask for help, or is that just like thing kind of that?
Nobody's going to really hear me or listen,
Yeah, I was wondering because, again, I'm already listening a lot, apparently.
Yeah.
What was coming up for me is your experience of asking for help on the recorder.
Yeah.
Because that's actually what's true.
Yeah.
That you've been asking for help a lot. Actually, what's happening is it does help. It is meaning. And here are some examples.
Yeah.
Because the karma is going to be like, oh, why bother? They're not going to, we'll just say this, and I already know that. But to be in what your actual experience of asking for help is.
And I heard the guy say not too long ago in the money workshop that is not a metaphor, that is actual reality. Knock, and you shall receive. Ask, and it shall. Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened. And she said, that's the real deal.
That's the real deal.
That's what will really happen if you do those things.
Wow.
It's not, And it really hit. It really made an impact.
It made a real impact.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like that's your experience.
It's another good.
Right, because it would like to turn something like, maybe later for other people. Mm-hmm. That's just a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
It's
exactly.
Actually true.
Yeah.
We just have to ask. We just have to knock.
Yeah.
And we're open and we're given exactly what we need.
Yeah, but that might be true. Yeah, just kind of outside that.
Right, that's only about aiming it, right? Probably for those other models, but not for me. But that sounds like your experience is.
When you get really good.
When you get really good.
Then maybe it'll open for you, or, then you get listened to, but you got to fix yourself first.
Oh, you got to. That would be that way, giving a condition on care and love. As opposed to what you're having, it sounds like it's an unconditional love.
Yeah. Wow. It is wild and woolly.
It is wild and woolly. We're all on that journey. Huh? Mm-hmm. We're in a minute.
Just 1 minute to say that I just love that, hearing about setting intentions to the presence of the mentor. I've been doing that a lot recently. Just that, not needing to say anything, not needing to talk, just setting attention to that. The presence, however that might be, in a sit, just somebody, the mentor, like a coach, right, there with you, keeping attention on the breath, keeping attention on the heart, or the hand on the back. And I experienced a thing where I could feel that calm of, well, I can't have this because what if it takes something away from someone else? And my mentor was like, no, it's okay, everybody's got one. It's like that's plenty to go around.
There's plenty to go around.
There's enough. there's more than enough, but it's okay, you can kind of relax into this for being here for you.
Wow.
Yeah. That's just really amazing. It's just been such an assistance with dropping that collusion in the form of kind of processing things in the head, where, let's see, that can, in that identification, that can get taken as talking to the mentor, right?
Yeah.
And just to turn attention to the presence of the mentor, and not necessarily to say anything, but turn attention to the feeling of the love and love and compassion.
Yeah, that's good.
And then we can talk if we want, but it's not like a kind of, because that's the other comment, like to get help, you need to perform in a certain way to deserve it, right? So to just keep turning attention to the.
It's really important, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I imagine that can happen a lot because, you know, we're just trying to be so verbal and talk about things. And the thing we've heard here is that you have such a conversation about, hey, can you use words just like the mentor would? And it can sort of, but if we're calibrating or if we're attuning ourselves to the presence, to the energy, to, you know, whatever that is in our body, that relaxation. It doesn't have to be a problem or anything. We can just turn to that. And maybe, you know, getting on the recorder and doing that kind of exercise really helps us practice that movement.
Yeah.
And then we can just keep practicing that movement whether the recorder's on or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do usually do this with the recorder.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I imagine that's for you.
So just, I mean, it's one of my favorite things to just do like evening commitments, just with the recorder, and not necessarily like, just like having it on beside me as I'm stretching and talking to the mentor or turning attention to that presence.
Oh, that's fun. So the turning on the recorder kind of supports that, whether you're doing that outside or not, it supports. I'm making that movement to that presence.
Right, and then we do the two-handed recording as well, and just like going through evening commitments
together.
Just that kind of, you know, that hiding in home, talking about the day, right? Like that. Just all those ways of getting to know the person beyond the conversation.
Getting to know the human beyond the conversation and doing something like reviewing our day or the commitment allows us to. Yeah, so then we get to know them from that place of presence.
Yeah.
Thank you.